Good evening, everybody. How are you? Just real quick, before we introduce tonight's speaker, we wanted to take a moment to honor a specific group among us. You know, those that were here last night, I don't even have words for what God did. It was just pure move of God. It was the hunger of Lancaster County meets the generosity of God. That's what happened last night. That's all I have words for. The hunger in Lancaster County met the generous heart of God, and he poured his spirit out, and it was an amazing time. And I thought to myself as I was driving home last night in full of gratitude, I found myself so grateful for the pastors, youth pastors, spiritual leaders, spiritual moms and dads that have paved the way for a young generation to walk in the kind of hunger we saw last night. So real quick, for just a moment, if you're a pastor, youth pastor, worship leader, could you just stand up among us here? If you're a ministry leader, just want you to stand up where you are. We just want to honor you. Look around this room. No, stay standing for a moment. Just receive the honor. We are so grateful for the hours that you have labored and toiled for a move of God in this county. Every prayer has been worth it. Every sacrifice has been worth it. And you have paved the way for a young generation to hunger after God. So, Lord, we bless every spiritual leader in this room. We bless them with fresh fire, God. We bless them with fresh revelation, God. We pray you'd pour out love on them tonight. We pray, Lord, they would feel your affirmation and love in their lives, God. We pray that they would know their prayers are being answered in Lancaster County. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have another amazing night tonight. I am privileged to introduce one of our Circuit Rider leaders, one of the primary voices that has helped kind of birth this little traveling entourage as we've gone across the nation over the last 3 years. And so we are really privileged tonight to have with us Brian Brent, who will be sharing with us. So let's welcome Brian.
Praise the Lord, man. You think there's a podium to stick this on? Could you? Okay. Man, I tell you, the highlight moment was all those pastors standing up. Can they stand back up? I'm telling you, every pastor, no, stand up. Every guy, gal that's standing up right now that is in ministry, I mean, if we added up the number of people these guys are affecting every single week, we have enough people in this room, leaders, to actually have a blueprint for a county to move into revival, actual revival in America with these leaders standing up. And so everything we're doing right now is on the backs of leaders. So every young person in the room, would you now, like Andy did, we want to really rock these dudes. Are you with me? Because stuff comes against leaders. Mess comes against them. Attacks. And so they have the room full of people right now that will pray for them. It's a luxury. So we're going to agree that their path is clear to put this thing together on the East Coast. Okay, here we go. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, that the way is being cleared by this room of circuit riders. Whether we're formally part of the school or not, we're all riders tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray these men would be blazed forward, propelled forward, every obstacle overcome, every barrier broken down, everything in the way just blazed out of the way right now by the power and the fire of God. We ask for every aspect of blessing, spiritual blessings, blessings of provision, resources, and revelation blessings from Scripture in Jesus' name. And we ask, God, that the men that are here, there'd be a revolution that would hit America out of our gathering tonight of your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, I saw the video last night. How many saw the video of last night? My word, I've never seen a crazier service in my entire life. I flew in here, and oh my word, there's so many of you. Circuit Riders is like 200 guys schools. Now we have to actually be meaningful. I don't know how to do that, man. We've just been like in California just with like 200-300 people. So we're overwhelmed right now. I was in the back room. I just said, Andy, this isn't what I signed up for. And so, but it's Bardwell's fault. And then the guy that just met that was doing the offering, because I guess these two guys schemed this thing all up in a coffee shop somewhere. Because I was getting the background story on that. And it actually was a God idea, because look how many people came. So there is something so special happening. And before I start tonight, I want to just kind of click and start. There's two guys I love here. Michael Berg from Orlando YWAM has been a good friend and a brother to me. I don't know where Michael is. Did you stand up, Michael Berg? I don't know if he's here tonight. There's Michael. And then one of my other good friends is Todd Hedgepath. He's somewhere in the building. Maybe Todd from Youth with a Mission. These guys are amazing dads to missionaries all around America and the world. And I can't believe these two guys are here tonight. I want to honor you guys. You know we did this together. Thank you so much. These are trusted leaders. If you get a chance to talk to Todd or Michael this week, pastors or students, you're going to be blown away. These are men that are caring, such integrity and humility, and they take you to the craziest places in the world. And then you actually go, nearly die, tell everyone how fun it was, come back, and then keep doing it for the rest of your life. You get abducted from normalcy into insanity, and these two guys are just two of the guys to blame for it. Okay, man. Oh, man.
Let me move my computer.
You always know you bring your computer when you're nervous. Because, no, every speaker does. Because you want to make sure, in case you don't know what to say, you can pull up an old file. But obviously I put it down, so this is not an old file tonight. Something started in Los Angeles just a week ago. And we're carrying on the story tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about I just want to tell the story. I don't know how to give a good talk or a great message. Really, I don't. I just want to tell you what happened, and then you guys figure it out from there. Are we all good? Literally, there's so many of us. I just don't want a formal deal where there's a big bridge between you and I and all this stuff. I don't know how to do that. Can we have a conversation about what's happening in America and what we need to do? All right, well, so if you got a Bible, I'm going to read this. I want to introduce myself. My name is Brian Brent. My wife, Christy Brent. We've been married now 26 years. She is, as long as I've known her, Christy has been sick with chronic fatigue syndrome. She's been pretty much in and out of bed her whole life. This last year and a half, it's been pretty well. She's been pretty incapacitated. She's an amazing woman of God and a woman of intercession. She's a Reese Howell type. The reason I'm here is because she insisted that I become a better man, and that's why I married her. We have four children. My oldest is Nick. He was born first. He's 22. He's an amazing, because he was birthed in sickness, and his mom was always sick, and so he was raised having to carry more responsibility. Does anyone know what I mean by that? And he was raised in that. Then my daughter Chloe came next, and she was basically born as an activist in our family of the prayer movement. I didn't know there was a prayer movement until she was 13 and played Misty testimony in her bedroom and came out a different little girl that would play her guitar for 4 hours a day singing love songs to Jesus while I stood outside saying, man, don't we need to do something? And she said, we got to be something first, Dad. And there was something about my daughter that revolutionized my house. The next son came was Spencer. He's a musician. He's an artist. He's probably the smartest Brent there is. And he knows it. And so your prayer life is understood. And then, but he's unbelievable humble. We had an amazing discussion right before this. We were talking about not quitting on making music that would absolutely revolutionize his generation. And that Satan was trying to hold back that tide of music. And I'm telling my son, had tears in his eyes just an hour ago saying, "Dad, it's time for us to take back the stage. There's a love revolution," he said, "for his generation." My youngest son is 11. He's with Andy Bird's kid, Asher. I just got a little text. They're riding some sort of crazy dirt machine. Josh was a little older than Asher, so he's, of course, driving, which to me was world record because these guys are such bullheaded young guys. I couldn't believe they were able to pick out who could drive. So it must have been a rule that the oldest kid could drive. It's amazing. They had helmets on, which I thought was revival. And they're just blazing right now on a dirt road somewhere in this county. Can we pray for them that they come home tonight? I didn't know what it was. They're just flying. That's my family. My mom and dad came from Germany. My mom, they came out right after the wall went up. They came as immigrants. All my family is dead. They died in World War II. So my mom and dad were really the last survivors. They came out. My grandparents lived a little bit after that. But my parents came to America to start over and hit the replay button. And it was there that my parents, my brother, I have an older brother named Charles. He's an amazing brother of mine. He's 2 years older than me, and he lives just 2.5 hours from here in Washington, D.C. And I'm the only other guy. So my parents had two of us. My brother has been walking for now, 22 years. He's been walking as a homosexual in his lifestyle. But I'm here to tell you tonight that my brother and I are very close friends. I was talking to him on Saturday, and we were weeping together about all that Jesus can still do. The unrestrained Jesus has answers. And I told my brother, I said, "We will always be a family, and you will always be my brother, and we will always fight together. And we will make it to the other side. There is no way we won't. We've come this far. And there is an answer in Jesus that is greater than it all." I want to tell you tonight that there is a need for us to be a family first. So tonight, as Circuit Riders, we're starting tonight as a night where we are really a family, man. Beyond anything we could ever become, the body of Christ, all of us are a family. There is a need for a family, brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children that would come together and say, "We are a family." There's a need for things to go beyond ministry. Do you feel it? There's a need because there's something so desperate about our nation that we have to come together now. And if we don't come together now, 5 years from now, it'll be a way harder, way, way harder to come together. This is the moment for a love revolution. I want to read some scripture tonight. Someone asked me after I spoke in Hollywood on the very thing I'm speaking to you, they said, "Well, what do you really feel about all these topics you just brought up?" I said, "Right now, I am majoring on love first, because love has to start the revolution. Jesus is the revolution." So Jesus tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, check it out. He said, "Love suffers long and is kind." Love suffers long. In other words, love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And in 1 Corinthians 13, when Jesus is basically telling Paul, describe how I feel. And Paul is pinning down the very nature and attributes of literally how Jesus feels about you every single day. He writes this poem of love. And that in every single instant, Jesus towards you is patient and is kind. And even though he runs the universe and created it, he's not there to stick his chest out and stick his finger in your chest. He wants you as his friend. He starts to write about this revolutionary God, the only God that loves in a way that is so unbelievable. And as I looked at this, I want to make a couple of quick points tonight. Tonight, we want to start something. But beyond, we can't start it if there's a limitation on our love. Jesus, talking to the Apostle John, tells us, he says, hey, I want to tell you what love does. Perfect love casts out fear. There's a violent overthrow of fear when you come into contact with my perfect love. How many of you know that verse? Because fear has to do with punishment. And that scripture, I'm telling you, man, it breaks the boundaries of love. So tonight's training session is on love, 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 love. There's no other subject. Love, love. It's love. It's still love. It's going to be love. There's a subject tonight. It's love. There's a message tonight. And you know, how many of us have ever been around a cautious person? You feel it. How many of you have ever been around a cautious endorsement? Well, there. How many of you have ever been around someone who is suspicious of you? Aren't you glad Jesus came in the Gospels with no caution, no suspicion, no cynicism, no unbelief, and he walked on this earth and he exploded every person he met with radical love. And the whole earth turned for the centuries now and say, who is this Jesus? We're still looking for him. People are getting saved day after day after day after day after day all the time because Jesus is the only one. He loved in such a way that caught the attention of the world. How many of you have been hearing about the new sound and all these kinds of descriptors? Isn't it stressful? I find it stressful. It stresses me out to have to do something new. Because then you feel like everything you're doing is old. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Musicians? Right? The new sound. Basically just says, stop doing everything you're doing. It sucks. And do something new. We're impatient. Did any musician know what I just said? Say something to musicians if you know what I just said. It's like, people say, well, the preachers, they just need to start preaching these new messages. And well, if you're a pastor, you go to head, you can put your head on your pillow at night. Go, God, give me a new revelation. And he says, well, I'm still love. Give me a new revelation. I'm love. And you come back to your church and you want to say something so important. There's 11 points and 47 subpoints this morning. Everything you're about to hear has never been said before. Who can live under that stress? What I'm about to tell you has never been said before. How about if every sermon started in America, everything I'm about to say, he already said, I'm just going to repeat it. No, come on. I think someone got set free just now. They thought they were a bad pastor. The best pastors are simple pastors. They just keep telling you over and 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 over. Stop being grumpy. Love somebody over and 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 over. And they have thousands of message titles, but basically they keep saying, he loves you, love someone too. The most stressful part of a church service is when you have to get to know the guy behind you. Think about that for a minute. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at it. I was laughing. Okay, not at it because I'm laughing. Because it's happened to me, man. High five somebody right there and tell them you love them. Okay. That's what it's like with no boundaries. Here we go. Say no boundaries. So what we're saying tonight as circuit riders is that we want to make all activities that are non-love, meaning criticism or things like that, we want to start calling them old school. Say old school. So we want to put some stuff in the old school category and put some stuff in the Jesus category. Are you all in this together? Now, to be clear, I'm telling you, every young person in America is sick and tired of fear. Does any young person believe that? Yes. They are hungering for a relationship. They are hungering for a relationship with Jesus. They are starving for a relationship with Jesus. They can't believe how amazing Jesus is when you tell them what he's really like. How many of us believe Jesus, if he had an advertising agency, would say, man, you've been misrepresenting me in the advertisement. I'm way more lenient than you make me. Loving kindness means showing leniency to someone who doesn't deserve it. How many of us know that salvation is massive leniency? It's not being soft on sin. I'm known for repentance. So I feel like I've got a little bit, I can say this stuff. But the first thing we're asking as circuit riders is that the revolution that Jesus started in the Gospels started with loving kindness. Loving kindness is showing grace. It's showing this. You're not giving people what they deserve. You're giving them grace instead of what they deserve. How many of us would love leniency on your taxes next year? Don't you wish Jesus ran the IRS? That would be a great, we could pray to Jesus. Lord, no taxes this year. Come on, Papa. But leniency is getting less. And I think the unsaved world is looking in at Christianity and they're making a decision about Christianity right now because there's no answers on the earth. And so the unsaved are leaning in saying, I want to hear one more time. Who is Jesus? No, I'm going to say it again. The unsaved American world is leaning in saying, who is Jesus? They are asking the question, I want to know who Jesus is. And there is a movement that's going to respond to their desire and show them the love of Jesus. Loving kindness. How many of you have ever felt like you deserved to be busted by Jesus and a young person in this room And Jesus didn't bust you. He used whatever dorky thing you did. And actually now is a cool part of your testimony. And how many of you have that experience? At least 5,000 times. And then, so number one is loving kindness. And it's taking the restraint out of love. We want to be uncautious in our love towards the lost. Uncautious, unhindered, nothing stiff, just completely in love with people. Isn't it amazing in Philippians 2 that it wasn't just that Jesus emptied himself. That's amazing enough. That Jesus became, said, I was willing to become nothing, emptied. He took the form of a servant. This is just outlandish, isn't it? I mean, to do it out of duty, like, okay, the Father, Jesus, you got to be emptied. You got to be nothing. You got to roll as a servant. And just more out of just like raw obedience. Okay, Papa, I will do it. But it wasn't just raw obedience. It was Jesus compelled to come prepare and get his bride by going to the cross and being raised from the dead. It was Jesus's insanity of love that drove him day after day that says, I'm not going to die on this hill. I'm going to go all the way up that hill. The humanity in Jesus fighting off death so they could nail him all the way to the cross to finish coming after you. This is the Jesus that America is hungering to meet. The Jesus of the Gospels. And I'm asking you tonight, loving kindness, grace. Say grace. Grace. Now, grace is not tolerance. It's wilder than that. Jesus' love is way wilder than that. I don't want Jesus just to tolerate me. Well, Jesus tolerates me. We just have a peace arrangement. He doesn't say anything and I don't say anything. Wouldn't that be weird? Just to walk around on earth knowing Jesus is tolerating you? Oh, that would be horrible. Wouldn't it just... No, think about it. Your quiet time. What would you say? I know I agitate you. But here I am. Go ahead, read it. Just sit there and read it. I won't say anything. You just read. Can you imagine a quiet time like that? What happens when you finish reading, then you'd have to pray. Look, I know you're frustrated. Dear Jesus. Anyway, just don't get any more frustrated. I'm just here reading, talking. I don't know what I'm talking about. Just you rule. I'll stay here. Amen. Can you imagine the stress of that? But Jesus is not that way. Even in your darkest valley of sin, Jesus is not tolerating you. He's pursuing you. And that Luke 15 is the answer. The prodigal father. How many of us saw the father in that scripture bolting down that road, pulling up his robe, embarrassing himself in front of the whole city, saying, why would you go out there and love that son? He took his inheritance. He embarrassed you. He made a fool out of you. He was a jerk. Why would you even welcome him back? Make him a servant. And the father says, hey, I'm running for him, baby. Hey, I'm coming, man. That's my kid. Would it not be crazy if God pulled a judo move on America? Instead of him being beamed down on a throne of judgment with fire lasers coming out of the ends of the throne, said, "Hail, I'm coming with love. I want you to know who I am." I think about how many unsaved people have no clue who Jesus is. They don't know him anymore. They don't know. Isn't it crazy they don't know him? They need us to act like him. Love, love, love. That's it. And this is the key tonight to the Circuit Rider message, is we're wanting to become practitioners of God's love, practical love, loving him, loving, 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 loving. Can I keep going a little bit more? Thanks for not tolerating me, but loving me. Now, how many of us know that love is not scared of anything? Isn't that crazy? The most fearless dudes on earth are the craziest lovers. It's easy to be offended. You know, don't leave me up here on this stage with so many people. It's frightening. Love is never scared. It just invades. It just goes. And so the next thing we're asking the Circuit Riders is that we're asking us to put on ourselves a crazy, outlandish, fearless, bold love for believers and for the lost. One of the old school things that we want to ban tonight. Can we ban something? Is that judgmental criticism. People are so afraid to say anything anymore because of what someone's going to say. 13-year-olds are afraid because of their internet, all their technology, and all the feedback they're getting. Literally, people are tormented by their reviews of their posts. When one person doesn't like it, I sit with young people like, I don't know why, I'm just spaced out ever since someone didn't like my picture. It's a setup, man. People are hungering for practical love, fearless love. So when we love like Jesus, one of the things about Jesus is he wasn't a proud lover in the Gospels. In other words, he didn't have pride. He always looked at people either in the eyes, or he was willing to take a lower seat and look up at them. So we're calling the Circuit Riders to an outlandish humility that will love every person with the most outlandish kindness and tenderness in our hearts. Man, when is he going to get to the good points? You see, 1 Corinthians says this, man, it's going through the whole deal about prophecy and all these things about moving mountains and singing and saying, speaking in the tongues, literally in the language of angels. It's talking about all these crazy stuff. How many of you would love to move a physical mountain? To go to bed and say, I just moved a mountain from Kona, Hawaii to New York. It's freaking everyone out. I did it in my prayer life. How many of you would like to come in and start, like, in some crazy, like, Klingon language, start speaking like this is an angel language, and everybody like, wow, that's amazing. I mean, or just tell someone the most prophetic insight, like tomorrow at 3:00, you'll be wearing a blue shirt with just slightly yellow on the right arm. You won't know where the shirt came from, but it will be given to you by a man with a beard. That man will come at 2:21 with crazy eyes. One eye will look to the right, the other to the left. His name will be Moses. It's not really Moses. His real name is Jim. His name is Jim. When you put the shirt on, you won't feel anything, but 1 hour later, you will like the shirt. All this, thus saith the Lord. You know, to prophesy with that level of accuracy would be cool, wouldn't it? Just to tell everybody the next day exactly what's going to happen to them. At 2 o'clock tomorrow, you will not eat a Big Mac. You'll eat a quarter pounder with cheese. Don't argue with me. You're going to think you won't, but you will. 201, I don't know why. I did exactly what the prophecy was. How many of you guys have ever been around a prophetic guru? No, don't raise your hand. They might be by you. But what the Bible says is even if you're Mr. Prophetic Wonder Worker, the greatest thing about everything in life is still love. That love transcends. In other words, love is greater. Love is larger. Love is all things. It's over all. And God is love. And so Jesus is describing himself and saying, you know what? You can cast out demons. You can, remember that when he's telling the dudes, you cast out demons, you can heal the sick, and you might come before me in heaven. And Jesus is saying, and I won't even know you. What was he saying? He's saying, man, did you do it for love? Or did you do it to build your kingdom? And God is coming and saying, build my kingdom with the most outlandish, plugged in love to Jesus. The last 10 years, the prayer movement was asking us to love with first commandment love. How many of you appreciate the message of loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and making sure that you're plumb with love for God? It's been amazing, hasn't it? No matter how you've heard that message or who you've heard it through, that's a simple scripture that's changed my life. But then the second half of that was love your neighbor as yourself, right? Is that what it says? And so how many of us believe that now this love that God's calling isn't going to come out of striving? It isn't going to come out of fear. It's going to come out of a revelation of the love of God for us, and we're going to give that love to people around us. I'm almost done. I'm going to call you to some action here. We want no limitations on love tonight. None. So what limitations do we want to take off tonight? Should we take all limitations off? Romans 12. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. That's out of the Message Bible. That's it. And so we want to pray tonight that all limitations would break in this room. So what we do at Circuit Riders is Andy and I don't know, we were just to know how it really worked. We were in Kona, Hawaii, and we're just thinking like about how long like some of our own teachings were like to young people. Because in the DTS, there's sometimes Andy and I would wax eloquent for hours and hours and hours. It's true. And we're thinking about all the pain the kids were going through because they had to listen to us for so long. How many of us felt some of that pain? Don't raise your hand. And we thought, there's got to be a practical way to train people so that we're not just always giving these long teachings. And that's what really invented our small groups and people praying for each other and practicing skill sets so that what we were teaching became really practical. Yeah. And that's what we've been doing in the day here is we've been practicing preaching. We've been practicing sharing our faith. We've been practicing praying. We've been practicing things. And then we've been going out in the streets, as you know. And so tonight, we're saying we want to practice taking off all limitations of love. So I'm going to give you a few things we're going to say are done and part of the past. Are you ready? This is a practical prayer time. We'll do a few together, and then maybe we'll pray for each other. But by showing of hands, how many of us really truly believe that love is the simple answer? I'm going to give you a little bit of an informal speech here. I just got to stay out of this big crowd intimidation mode here. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. Number one, can I say this to you? Life, your life will be aligned when it's aligned with God's priority of you loving. All confusion will be off of your life if every morning you know you got to get up to hit with love. If every day your life is about loving like Jesus loved, every single day will make sense. Every single day makes sense. I learned this through the crucible of suffering. Because when you live with someone who's as sick as my wife, you can't rate yourself on success, meaning, is she healed? Are her symptoms relieved? Is she having a better night? Because most of those things don't change, at least in this last season for me. Can you relate to this? So at the end of the night, about 10 years into the marriage, I started saying to myself, Lord, I don't seem to be having an effect yet on this sickness. You haven't healed it yet. I know you're going to. You promised it to me. But what am I to do? He said, put yourself in her shoes and learn to love. And it became the most incredible adventure of my life. Learning day after day after day. That's a lot of days. To say the greatest day would be for me today to love again. To not be offended, to not feel sorry for myself, to not do anything that doesn't have love in it. My greatest desire would be to love well. And I was in California just a few weeks ago, and a young man came up to me, my friend Josh Ord, and he said to me, he said, Brian, he goes, I feel like revival could be defined by, if we want to change the world, we need to love the one. And there's something so simple, I think, about the practice of revival that would hit America with loving the one. Loving the 10 lost people on your list. Loving the 5 lost people on your block. Committing to love. In California, we're launching 21, it's called Love 21. It's 21 days of love on university campuses. Check this out. Every single day, we're going to call every college student in Southern California to get out of bed and do and commit themselves to these things of love. One of the days we're dreaming up is that every unsaved professor that hates the gospel would get a flower that says, I love you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Praying for you. Can you imagine walking around a campus with 30 or 40 flowers on every desk and saying, Jesus just kissed this campus? And the next day, and we've been talking about, and so what we're doing is 21 different universities are having 21 different students come up with the craziest day of love for their university. Practical ways to love the lost. Practical ways to love believers. Practical ways to love children, the city. So what we are feeling tonight is we want to start this on the East Coast. We want to turn the tide and say, what would happen if there became a movement on the East Coast of the gospel love of Jesus Christ to save to the uttermost every person would have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ. And out of that would come these Christians just loving the lost. And we'd be known all across America as a love movement. A young man had a dream at California College. In the dream, the college professors over the megaphones had to announce on campus, you still have to go to class even in the midst of the love movement. Because people were outside in the dream and they were just blowing up each other constantly, just encouraging each other, loving each other. Stuff was happening. It was so amazing. Jesus's love had just taken over and everybody was getting into the stuff. They were just like, we love Jesus and now we're going to just love everybody. And they were just mobbing people with love. Can you imagine that happening in America? That's what they saw in the dream. And so these young students said, well, man, if we could get 400 Christians on a university to do 21 days of love, that would touch 8,400 people. That's sometimes almost 30% of a campus. That would make a difference. And we could start throwing these festivals and celebrate and present the gospel. And so I'm just asking that out of the ground tonight, we could say, God, we're ready for you to stir us in a way we've never been stirred before to love. Tenderize our heart. Take all limitations off. Slay every limitation. Would you rise up with me? We're going to pray. The first thing we want to do tonight is we got to just say that love's the best. Dudes, like, okay. There's nothing better. I feel like there's still an argument, like, there's still something cooler to do than love people. Are you guys with me on this? When Jesus walked the earth, he just continually, daily poured out the most incredible love, the most incredible humility, the most incredible kindness, the most incredible tenderhearted. So in the heart of how many of us see that criticism is wanting to take over our nation, and division is wanting to take over our nation, and hatred is wanting to boil up in our nation. And as a reaction, what if the Lamb, Jesus, made us all like lambs, and we began to operate in the most crazy, wild-hearted love that's filled with joy towards the lost? I'm telling you, there's heat on it. Come on. So, Lord, I was talking today to my friends, and I said, tonight, I'm telling you, no matter what, something's going to crack on this issue of love. I'm telling you. So, by showing of hands, how many of us would say, I've become a little bit stiff in my love, meaning there's been a little formality, there's been a little bit less exuberance, and you've gotten bit by the fear bug. Okay, high five somebody that's next to you, man. Say, dude, all right, we're in this together. There's a lot of noise. Okay. So, team, Circuit Rider team, which everybody in the room is, everybody's a Circuit Rider tonight. You got baptized into it right now. Even if you don't have a t-shirt, the Methodist Circuit Riders were evangelists and revivalists. They were amazing, weren't they? Thank God for them in the history of America and what they did on those horses. We can't give out horses tonight. I know, it's a disappointment. We wanted to. Little plastic ones. I said, I am a Circuit Rider. But we know if you caught it, it'd be better than buying it. So, guys, fear's been trying to steal our dinner, man. Check this out. Come on, man, just one more minute. Check this out. I was in Hollywood 2 days ago. I went to this crazy music festival. I won't even go into it. When I say crazy, times it by 10. I got in free. And I said, Jesus, I want to go stand in the middle of it and see if everyone is as bored as I suspect they are. So I went as a Josh of Caleb's spy with my son Nick Spence and Chloe and Lindy, my other daughter, and we went in there and we stood there, and I'm telling you, everyone was bored. I mean, after a while, I mean, what more can be done to make your clothes look cool? I mean, the only thing left is that we just walk around naked. I mean, it's so boring. It's so boring. The world is so bored with the routine. Okay, here comes the evening. Throw back the drinks, you know, to kind of ease into the night. Oh, look, I'm no longer hindered because I have the booze going. Oh, that's real creative. It's not that fun. It's expensive. I mean, you can buy a whole bottle for like $4. But in there, it's like $9 for a little teeny spoonful. And that's fun. Then you get around your buddies. And you know what you're going to do. Talk about the latest movie. Man, that part where that car spun wild. Did you see it? Oh, yeah. It's rare to see like a car go wild like that in a computerized image. I haven't seen that more than maybe a million times. What else is going on? Well, I'm figuring out a way to wear less clothes. That's cool. I love it, man. Great goal set. No, I mean, come on, man. Jesus is a relationship. He's alive. We can't be intimidated. That's what I told you about my brother. I said, I'm done being intimidated. I'm coming out, love. All the way. When Jesus comes out and shows us his love, it took all of our breath away. The world is waiting for their breath to be taken away. And we will not bow to fear. I love my wife. We were at some crazy deal at Biola University. Amazing gathering. And one of our dear friends was there. And she was dancing. How many of you have been around the wild dancer? How many have been around the wild dancer that sweats wildly? How many have been around the wild dancer that sweats wildly that has so much energy that you're just like, this is like P90. What in the world? Okay, so that's what it was like. I was taking Advil just to watch. Seriously. Four of them. Felt my joints, my hips especially, just hurting as I watched. They never stop. Have you ever noticed that? They don't stop. They go full hour. And Christy goes, man, and this was crazy for my wife because she's not a worship dancer. And she said, you know, Brian, sometimes I feel like I've just become like a stiff guy. Why don't we ever dance like that? She goes, you don't think that's our brand of Christianity, do you, that we're like the stiff guys? I go, oh, no, honey, no, absolutely not. That's not true. And we got back to our house that night, and she tells the story. How many of you know how to kill your wife's story? Come on, any husbands. Come on, husbands. Don't leave me hanging. You know how to say that's a nice story, but let's not talk about it anymore. We got back to the house. Andy Bird was there. Christy said to Andy. And Andy goes, that's probably when revival is going to break out. And my wife then gets empowered. And she's like, Brian, we've got to do this. And what she was illustrating was how fear and caution, that's what she was saying. She wasn't about aerobicizing dancing is the answer to revival in America. Or otherwise we could have a revival right now by just boogieing down. She was talking about a principle of stiffness that wanted to enter into our culture shift of radical love. And she's saying we ought to love as wildly as that lady was dancing in our hearts every day. And it made sense to me. We're almost there. I told you we're going to have a breakthrough. God, you're so good. Ah, it's relieving. Okay, as we put on this prayer moment, thanks for standing up. It helped you stand up. We can't quit in our love anymore. Love suffers all. And check it out. Love never fails. So we are saying, not only is fear coming off, but how many of us know the world is tired of a love that fails? Oh, they are so tired of a love that fails. Everyone fails them. When they meet Mr. Jesus, they're going to go, I finally met my friend who never fails me. We have a tour. He never fails tour. Jesus has never been worn out tour. Mr. Grace tour. Mr. We could really do something fun Saturday night tour. Mr. I really know where the party's at, tour. Mr. White as Snow is actually really fun, tour. So let's pray together. You ready? In Jesus' name. You know when you say his name, guys, it gets wild, okay? We are banning fear. Say it with me. We are banning fear.
We are banning fear.
As of tonight.
As of tonight.
Cautious love is done.
Cautious love is done.
Outlandish love is back.
Outlandish love is back.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
It's so good. Almost done. Ready for the final prayer. Are you guys all right? Oh. It's been a battle to get here for me. I'm telling you, my health is... Do you guys know about my story? I'll tell it to you another night, but... Dude, seriously, man. I mean, it got so intense, I really think taking care of my wife in 2006 that my body started to break down. I got an autoimmune disease called mixed connective tissue disease, and it attacks all the connective tissues in my body. And man, did I get a flare-up yesterday on the way out of L.A. Oh, man. And when you flare up, it's like your internal organs flare up. And I mean, it was like a fire. And I remember I got on that plane, and I said, God, it's because you're going to do something about love. That's so crazy to just drag me to the room so that we can start something together. And so we're gonna talk about hatred and criticism and opining, and we're going to say, God, we want to love. We want to spend our days loving instead of criticizing, instead of opining. We want to love. So say it with me. In Jesus' name. Religious pride,
is
old school.
It's old
school.
Along with division.
Disunity.
It's done.
As of tonight.
As of tonight.
We're saying Jesus.
Start the love revolution.
Of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every home.
Every
dorm.
Every university.
High school.
Junior high.
Prison.
City.
We need a love movement.
The love of Jesus.
I will be your hands.
I will be your feet.
It starts right now. So as a group comes up here, I just want to cement this. How many of us feel like our heart is tender-hearted tonight? There's something so amazing that happens to you when you commit yourself to demonstrating the love of Jesus to others practically. Isn't it amazing what can happen? I really think that as this grows this week and as we continue to dig into the culture shift of love and the culture shift of radical love, something so crazy is going to start happening in our minds. We're going to get so many creative ways to take the gospel all over the place. Do you know we have enough evangelists in this room right now to go all over the East Coast? And so tonight's call on the front end of Circuit Riders is anyone in this room that feels like you want to be part of a love brigade, of a gospel, of music, of presentation of the gospel, of seeing the lost come to Christ, of seeing Christians awaken. You're saying, I'm totally feeling that's the call of God on my life. As of tonight, I feel it so strong. I want you to come forward, and we're going to commission a move of evangelism out of Pennsylvania that's going to touch America tonight. So come forward if you feel that's your calling. Andy, if you join me. And Amy, if you join me. If you feel like, man, you don't even have to move. You can do it right here. But you feel like the gospel and taking the gospel to every university, to every high school, to every junior high, all that is just coming on you. And you feel so awakened in your love. You feel so bright and shining. You're ready to go. Andy, can you see this? Where's Andy at? I mean, this is ridiculous. Look how many people want to be evangelists. And how many people want to take the gospel? So raise your hand if you're ready to do this. Wow. Never in our wildest dreams did we ever think this would have ever happened anywhere in America. And it's happening tonight in this city at this time. It's a sign from God. It's a sign from God of what many young people and many old people and many middle-aged people and many little people, young, I mean like 10, 12 years old, are all feeling this same thing. It's time for a gospel movement in America again. So we are going to now, I'm going to give you this, Andy, you say all this stuff, I'm done. But there's a difference when love drives out fear. It drives it out. And we are driving it completely out these doors tonight forevermore. There is no more caution. It's finished. So if you feel that tonight, would you, with all of your heart, for 30 seconds, all of your heart, don't speak to fear. Fear is just a little teeny little demon, I would imagine, no bigger than a postage stamp. It's not that exciting to drive out a postage stamp. But more on the positive side. Driving out is kind of a fun thing to do as Christians because we're good at it. But I don't feel any demons around here, do you?
No.
How could they survive the worship? They can't. They're depressed. They're handing out Prozac right now to the demonic guys, wherever they hide, their lair. I don't know how that works. You don't want to know? I don't want to know, okay? But it's definitely not exciting for them tonight to see all of you. So we're cementing in that that it's time for love. And that's all we're declaring for 30. Like, it's time for the love of Jesus. It's time for the love of Jesus. I will be his hands and feet. You know, we're just getting that off of our chest, saying, God, I'm back. I want to do this. It's time. It's time for it to erupt. And we're all just cementing that in before Jesus Christ. You go in.
Father, we declare that unprecedented humility is hitting our hearts tonight. From a revelation of your love, Lord, you pushed every button tonight. Father, you're breaking every wall and every barrier we placed around extravagant, outlandish, foolish love, God, flowing into our lives and out of our lives. So, Lord, we declare tonight unprecedented unity is breaking out through unprecedented humility in Lancaster County, God. That we will link arms like never before, Father, and out of this unprecedented unity will come an unprecedented gospel movement to the lost in this county, God. Why not? Lord, are 600,000 too many to save? Are 600,000 too many to save? Lord, is Lancaster City too hard to save? No way! No way! No way! The gospel is enough! The gospel is enough, Jesus. If you would, just put your hands on the shoulders of those to the left and right of you. We'll launch into worship here in a moment. And those that need to go are free to go, of course. But we want to pray right now that this love message that, man, as Brian's speaking, he's so pushing my buttons. Jesus is pushing my buttons. Because I put boundaries around my love. Man, Jesus knew no boundary. Never met a human on the earth he could not love. Never saw a situation he could not redeem. And never met a sin he could not forgive. So he's breaking our boxes tonight. And it's a little uncomfortable, and we love it. Lord, ruffle our feathers. If we're really honest, Lord, we've all been a little bored with our measure of love. If we're really honest, Lord, under Holy Spirit lie detector test, we've been a little bored. So, Father, we're giving you full-blown permission to come and break our boxes, ruffle our feathers, make us uncomfortable. We're ready, Lord, to love like you loved, to go like you went, to heal like you healed, to deliver like you delivered, to love the one like you love the one, to love the masses like you love the masses, to feed the hungry, to set free the prisoner, to heal the blind, God. We're ready to love like you love. So, Lord, we pray in intercession all across this county. Let love break out through the gospel, God. We stand together tonight. Let love break out all across the county, God. Every church, every home, God. Every marriage, Lord. Every family. Let the gospel explode in Jesus' name. We stand in unified intercession tonight with joy in our hearts. Come and mess us up, Jesus. Here's my gut honesty. We're in a living room, remember? If you joined us tonight, welcome to our living room. We just don't do big conference deals. We're in a living room right now, okay? It's a holy accident you all showed up and we're still shocked. If I am gut level honest, Lancaster County is longing for something more. Man, and there's a wildness in the bones of Lancaster County. There's a zeal, there's a red hot fiery zeal in the heart of Lancaster County that has been longing to break out. And it has broken out in the past, but it is longing to break out again. It is longing to be unfettered. Unfettered fire is longing to break out in Lancaster County. And if we are gut level honest, when we look in the mirror, we're looking in the mirror going, God, I am desperate for something more. And he says, I am too. So let's do it together. Let's do more together. So declare this with me. Say, Jesus, we love you. And we are breaking the chains. We are unfettering our love. We are shattering our boxes. We are sick of our boredom. We are longing to risk. So we will risk greatly for the gospel, for the kingdom. We're breaking out. Let the fire fall in Lancaster. Let the fire fall in Lancaster. I think we should sing. Because his love is like a freight train.
In Jesus' name, every hand receives radical fire of love. Radical Jesus love. Brand us now and seal this night. As we go wild in worship, thank you, Jesus. We seal our hearts. Brand our hearts. Tell the Lord, brand my heart that love would never be something new to me again or whatever. This is just the way it's going to be for the rest of our lives. Love will prevail. And so just for Jesus' sake, so I can have peace, because I'm kind of more a guy who has to have peace. I want us to say a truth statement out loud. The world is bored. There can be no intimidation anymore because the world is longing for a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior. So when we break out like we're going to in this county and beyond, the world is going to get so blown out. Oh man, the lost are going to go so crazy. People are going to go so bananas because Jesus is going to be seen everywhere. So let's give the Lord all of our hearts in celebration for the gospel going out.